Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Sean Joyce, founder of Underground Comedy and only employee.
So one-man band.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people that help me out and that work on the shows, but I do all of the behind-the-scenes stuff and some of the in-front-of-the-scenes stuff.
Awesome. Now, we should let our listeners know that the reason I even reached out to you was I saw that Louis C.K., the hilarious Louis C.K., randomly showed up at the Big Hunt as one of your events. You found out about it last minute, right?
Yeah, I found out about it the night before. Basically, he brings some younger comics out to open up for him on the road, and even though they're young compared to Louis, they're very experienced, like 8 to 12 years they've been doing stand-up, and they've been on TV and everything. And those guys are the kind of guys that normally would headline my shows. And I've known these two guys that are opening up for Louis for several years, and they've done my shows in the past. So anytime I see that those guys are in town, I invite them to come by.
What's their names?
Joe List and Mark Norman were the two openers that I knew that were opening up for Louis. And they've both headlined Big Hunt. So I knew they were going to be in town, so I reached out to Joe and just told him to come by if he wanted to. And then I ended up, I kind of thought it would be a drop-in situation for them over the weekend. And they reached out on Wednesday night. They were in town Wednesday through Saturday. Louis was filming a new special at Constitution Hall, and they proposed having a surprise show at after the regular Thursday show at 10 o'clock, where there normally is no show. And they were like, if we do it, there's a chance that Louis will come. And so we set the tickets up, put them on sale around midnight on Wednesday night. And then I sent an email out to my mailing list, and by 4 o'clock, all the tickets had sold out to that.
But the guests didn't know Louis was going to come yet.
No,
right?
Mark posted about it on social media, and he kind of hinted.
Right.
He said, "You never know who might drop by." And when he said that, I kind of took that hint to be like, "Okay, that's the what we're going to go with. We're going to say you don't know who's going to come by." So that's what I said in the email that I sent out. So I hinted at it, but didn't say specifically. And then I was texting with Mark, and he said, we're going to talk to Louis when he gets off stage, which he was getting off stage at 10 o'clock. And the show for Mark and Joe was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, and they stayed because they were going to try to convince Louis. They didn't think that he was going to come. And when he got off stage, they told him that they were about to leave for the show, and he decided to come with them.
Wow.
So when I got the text that he was going to come, I started the show and I performed, and then I brought up another comedian, and then Mark got there, he performed, then Joe, and then Louis went on last.
Set the scene for me a little bit. Where, because I've been to the Big Hunt, it's in DuPont Circle, but maybe if our listeners don't, where in the Big Hunt is it? Is it downstairs?
Or yeah, it's in the basement.
Okay.
There's a room in the basement that has a bar in it, and it holds about 50 people. It's a pretty small room. Okay. You know, it's very intimate, and comics like it a lot because you're close to the people's low ceilings. It's a cool vibe. It's not a very fancy place. It's a little bit gross, but
like any good comic,
but comics do like it, and it has a good reputation among them. And so because of that, people do drop in a lot. That's that was the thing, and it's weird to see Louis there and have, you know, there's the ceiling dripping and start, like, giving him a beer in a plastic cup was weird, but I think it ended up being fun.
That's really, really cool. And what was some of the reaction from some of the people there? Were they buzzing about it before he came out? Like, when word started to get around, or is it pretty shocked?
It's I think the people who came out are people who have been coming to underground comedy shows. Mm-hmm. So they're, I would consider them kind of very with it comedy fans. They understand comedy and really get what I'm trying to do. Whereas in a kind of regular night, there's those people, but then there's a lot of people that are just looking for something to do, and they're not necessarily huge comedy fans. So I didn't say anything when I started the show about Louis coming. I just did the show as normal, as if Joe and Mark were the only people that were going to be on. And everybody was just patient and just waiting to see if it might happen. And then when I brought him up, it, you know, just a huge, huge cheer. Like, and it was really a sound that I've never heard in that room before.
Did he make any good memorable jokes, just riffing on the dripping ceiling or anything like that?
I honestly was not able to pay that close of attention to his set because I wanted to make sure that the environment was perfect for him to the extent that that's possible in that room. And so I was kind of just kind of making sure that everybody was being quiet. There wasn't interruptions and
quality control.
Yeah, yeah. So I was really focused on that. And I, you know, as a result, I did not really get to really listen to his jokes.
Right. That's okay. Take me. All right. Before I think we've hit Louis pretty hard, but let's move. Take me back to sort of the beginning of how did you start underground comedy? When was this?
I started it about 4 years ago. I started doing stand up about 6 years ago. And I had gone the first open mic that I ever went to. They were the person who ran it was moved, and there was nobody wanted to run it anymore, and they were going to stop it. So I agreed to take over the show, even though I wasn't very interested in doing it. And I hosted it for 1 week, and the manager came to me and told me that they were closing and tearing the building down the next week. So that was the last show. And
where was this?
This was called 11th Street Lounge in Clarendon. So just from that experience, there wasn't a Monday show after that. So I felt an obligation and desire to start another one. So I ran a couple of bad shows in Virginia for a while. And when I moved to DC, I stopped those shows. And I was performing on other people's shows, but I was kind of unsatisfied with them. I didn't really like the way they were being run. So I started two shows at the same time. And because there was two shows, I decided it would make sense to have an overarching name so that they were connected and it was one thing. And that gradually grew, you know, to three shows. And then I think the most I got up to was 12 in a week. We're at 10 right now. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably, I don't know, who knows where it'll be at the end of this year, but yeah.
So you're roughly 10 a week?
Yeah, okay. It's exactly 10 a week right now, wow. Yeah.
What are all venues do you usually do?
Right now, we're basically working out of three venues. It's Vendetta on Tuesday, and then Big Hunt Wednesday through Saturday. We do 8 shows there, and then Wonderland on Sunday.
Gotcha. What are some, could you just give us a sampling of some of the comedians that have come through?
Sure, yeah. We Patton Oswalt came on New Year's Day to Wonderland, and that was another crazy reaction from the crowd, because that was a complete surprise also. And wasn't mentioned at all ahead of time, and the audience just found out when he got brought up on stage. Hannibal Buress has dropped into a couple of shows, which was very exciting. Michael Che dropped in, then he decided to come back to actually headline shows, and he headlined 6 shows at Big Hunt the week of his special taping that just came out on Netflix. So he was at Big Hunt Monday through Wednesday for 6 shows, and then recorded a special on Friday. And then I think that's a very big special that's out, and a very good special. So that was a very exciting.
That's you keep mentioning that they come for various, you know, official DC, you know, events at DAR and places like that. And
sure.
It's kind of nice that they can spin off and do this with you guys. You guys can kind of take advantage of them coming here for other things and getting to drop in.
Yeah, I feel bad about that sometimes because they are in town for Michael Che was in town because he was at the Kennedy Center, and he was just looking for comics are generally looking for places to perform when they're around. And he just looked it up on the internet and just showed up, just
That's
walked in.
So
I,
cool.
I had not, I mean, I didn't do anything. And, but he liked the room and knew that he wanted to work out his hour and came back for that purpose. So, yeah, definitely.
So a lot of time they're working out new material and trying things like that.
Well, that was not new material. That was his material for his special. He was perfecting it. It was the last, that was his last run through
like
to make sure
run,
everything was perfect for it before the special. And he was really moving things around still in that last week, going through those different shows. And you could see it. You could see it evolve from the first show Monday to the last show Wednesday.
I just love that it's not. I mean, you have your people that are headlining. You know, I assume that, and that's listed on your website and everything else. But I like the feeling of not tipping your hat, because a lot of times you don't know till the last minute. But
right.
is that do you purposely try to play up like the element of surprise?
Well, no, it's no, not at all.
Okay.
The reason why I do that is because when those guys decide to drop in, it's totally their decision.
Right.
And if they decide they don't want to come, then they just don't come.
Right.
And then that's it.
You don't want to get people's hopes up.
Yeah. And I'm not going to, the last thing I want to say is Louis coming and then he doesn't come and then the show's bad. If I don't say Louis coming and you get Mark Norman and Joe List, that's a great show. You still have a great night. Those guys would be a great show, just one of them. And having both of them is very exciting. So that's good enough. And a normal show, if you have no expectation, it's a great show. But if you think Patton Oswalt's coming, then he doesn't come, it's a pretty disappointing show.
Right.
So, it's more of that. Also, someone like Hannibal or Louie, if you say that they're coming ahead of time, it's out of control. You can't fit the people that want to get in there in the room. And that's a headache, and it's really hard to deal with in a free show, because there aren't people necessarily stopping anyone from coming in. So then the rooms just get out of control. And that does happen sometimes when word gets out.
How were Louis, Hannibal, Michael Che, Patton Oswalt, you know, we all see them on stage as comedians, but how were they, you know, off stage in your interactions with them?
I mean, everyone has been great to me. I think all of the very big people that have come through have been incredibly nice. And I think that they know that I'm just running a show in the basement of a bar, and there's no need to give me a hard time. I think they're all actually
there's good. No pretension.
They're all good people. You know, I like comedians a lot, and I feel like I understand them. So I feel like I'm able to talk to them in a way that makes sense to them and makes them comfortable. So I think it all works out well.
Who are some of, I mean, those are the bigger name people, but who are some of the lesser known, you know, names that have just been tearing it up for you guys and getting big reactions from the crowd?
Yeah, I think somebody who was here recently like that is a comedian named Tim Dillon, and he lives in New York, and he's very loud, energetic person, and he's kind of political, but not in a real serious way. And he's just an amazing performer, and he's early on, maybe compared to Joe and Mark, he's not as far along in his career because he hasn't been doing it for as long, but he's a very, very powerful performer. And when you put him in that small room at Big Hunt, it really is very fun to watch and experience. And when he comes to do the shows, I'm not worried at all about the show. I know the show is going to be good no matter what, because I know he's going to take care of it.
You mentioned a few seconds ago that sometimes it gets a little political, and sometimes what all styles of comedy? I'm sure it's probably a bunch of different styles that come.
Yeah, it is a bunch of different styles, because I book all the shows. I think that there is kind of the styles are limited to comedy that I like. And I, you know, the people used to talk about alternative comedy versus club comedy, and that was like a big division. And it's, I think that's kind of doesn't really exist as much anymore. But there are kind of very like unusual comics that tell one-liners or do musical stuff that I enjoy.
When you say one-liners, do you mean like a Mitch Hedberg kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just very short jokes. And you know, if someone's performing for 45 minutes, you really notice the length of their jokes. If they're telling short jokes, you're going to hear tons and tons of jokes. and other people can tell in that time, they can tell three long stories if they have that style. And I think that my preference falls in between. I like more traditional type of stand-up, like Louis in his style, where It's even if it's stories, it's tightly packed with jokes.
Right. How did you get into it? Tell me about yourself. When did you start getting into comedy?
Yeah, about 6 years ago, I got into comedy. I was dating someone that wanted to go see a free show, which I assumed would be terrible. And it was not terrible at all. The comedians were hilarious. I could not believe how funny the comedians were, because I was really interested in stand-up comedy just as a fan, watched it for my whole life. And there's a lot of people on TV that I thought were not funny. And I was like, how are people in a bar in Clarendon going to be funny if the people on TV aren't even funny? But it turns out that they were. And some of those people now are on TV, who were performing that night. And so
do you remember who?
Yeah, Seton Smith. He was on a show called Mulaney with John Mulaney. Mm-hmm. Who do you know John Mulaney?
Yeah.
So he's a person who was on that show. And then Hampton Yount is another person, and he is going to be in a new Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot that that's coming out soon. And he's been on Comedy Central and a bunch of other stuff. Cool. So those guys, Jason Weems was there. He's been on Last Comic Standing. Mm-hmm. A bunch of other people were there who've been on Last Comic Standing. So, there at that time and continues to be a very strong comedy scene in DC that produces people that make it to TV. And when I saw that, it kind of, I just was completely unaware of what comedy is for people before they get on TV. I never even thought about what it was like. And the girl that I was dating encouraged me to try it. So I did. And once you start doing it, it's kind of addictive, and you end up just performing every night.
How does it, can you tell, especially when you're first starting out doing it, do you slowly start to be able to develop a sense where you can tell whether your set's working or not pretty early on? Or have you ever had to win people over as it went on? Or, horror stories, anything like that?
I guess there are some people that have trouble telling whether they're doing well or not.
Yeah.
I think that's like an unusual problem for certain people, but I think almost everyone else has a very clear sense of how they're doing, even if it's your first time. If you tell a joke and no one laughs at it, you know that no one laughs at it. If you say something at work and no one laughs at it, you know that.
Right.
So you know how you're doing all the time in stand-up comedy. I think that your standards for what you're hoping to get as far as a reaction go, those get raised as you go on. I think sets that I considered a pretty good set in my first year or two, I would consider a bad set now.
Right.
But that's, natural.
Like anything.
Natural.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who did you mentioned that, I know you started just 6 years ago, but you mentioned that you've been a fan of stand up your whole life.
Yeah.
What are some comedians that, that maybe, you grew up on that you loved?
I really loved Norm Macdonald when I was in grade school and junior high. I saw him on TV a lot. I loved Dr. Katz. I loved
pre-Turd Ferguson or after Turd Ferguson?
That was pre. That was before Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
Because he would just be on the stand-up shows that were on Comedy Central. I think MTV had a stand-up comedy show. Dr. Katz was there's a lot of amazing comedians on there. Dave Attell and David Cross were guys that I liked very early on. Mm-hmm. Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Who going now? I mean, you probably mentioned some of the people. You said Louis.
I think Louis is the best. I mean, Chappelle's, of course, right there with him. And I think somebody that I really like a lot is a comedian named Rory Scovel, who was a comedian in DC for a long time. And he lives in LA now. And he's a guy that is on Conan every so often. He's on a show on True TV called Those Who Can't. And I think that he's my favorite comedian to watch, probably. I think what he does is very unique and interesting and just is just great.
What about your audience? Have you developed you know, a faithful following that travels from, you know, Wonderland to Big Hunt, or is it pretty?
Yeah, I always get surprised when that happens. People will come up to me and they'll say, I didn't realize you had a show here. I always go to this other show. And I always kind of imagine, things have been consolidated a bit in Big Hunt now with so many shows there, but it used to be more spread out across more venues and more like one show in each venue. And I always assumed certain nights were good for certain people or certain neighborhoods were good for certain people, but people, it's turned out, do kind of travel across the city to go to different shows and we'll go on different nights and to different venues.
If our listeners are hearing this and they want to check you guys out and find out more, how can they find out more?
All the information is on the website at undergroundcomedydc.com. There's shows Tuesday through Sunday. There's free show every night. And then on Friday and Saturday, there are also shows that cost $10, except for special events, but they're generally $10. And they generally have headliners from New York or Los Angeles, people that have been on TV, and they do a longer set, like they'll be doing about 45 minutes. The free shows, they have about 15 comics on it doing short sets, about 5 minutes. And that's kind of, those are the shows you get the drop-ins from the big people occasionally.
Do the venues do any specials, food, drink specials for those nights? Or
the venues do have various specials depending on the night and the venue. But, you know, it's a free show, so you're coming out ahead regardless.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I guess the other side of it, since you are a comedian yourself, you know, if maybe some of our listeners want to get into stand-up too, maybe they're not just going to watch it and laugh, but they themselves are interested. What advice would you have for them?
Okay, well, if you want to start doing stand-up, the first thing that you need to do is write 5 minutes of jokes, or maybe 3 minutes of jokes. And the advice that I give people is, when you write those jokes, imagine when you think people are going to laugh and have that intention that they're going to laugh at that moment.
Does that mean pause at that moment? Like, you know,
you want to set it up. You want to build up to it and then say the end, the punchline. You want to say that with some certainty so that people know that it's, you know, that that's the punchline. And then you're going to have to find a place to go try it out in front of people. So you're going to have to sign up for an open mic. And then when you do tell the joke, if people don't laugh, then you got to try to figure out why they didn't laugh. Whether you said it wrong or you didn't set it up enough or whether it's not funny. So then if they laughed, then that's good. If they didn't laugh, then you got to change it. And then you just do that for the rest of your life.
Are you just practicing in a mirror, or how did you memorize all those jokes? I've always wondered how
they remember. You do have to just say it to yourself over and over again. Some people have a more loose style where they know generally what they want to say, and it's not word for word every single time. I'm very word for word. And I think most comedians are word for word. If you see these big comics working on their stuff the week before, and then you watch the special, there's, you know, the words. So I think most people know every word they want to say and know exactly how they want to say it each time. Some people are different, but for the most part, I think that's the case.
Do you think it's innate, or is it something that you can learn and improve on?
I think that you can get to a certain level. I think if you're very meticulous and smart, I think that you can get pretty far just kind of figuring it out. But I think if you're going to be successful, I think that's innate. I think you have to have a certain level of natural ability to be able to get to really set yourself apart than from just kind of like mechanical joke writing.
Awesome. Well, this sounds great. I'm glad you've been doing this and bringing all these cool shows to the DC area. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. That's Sean Joyce, the founder of Underground Comedy here in DC. Thanks, man.
Thank you.